This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. By the way, there is a concert on of Glee Clubs. Listen. It's like Glee Club in the Ozarks. So anyways, I was listening to that before I actually started my car, and I thought, hey, that's kind of nice. I kind of like that. It is episode 141. I had a bit of concern a moment ago because of some impatience on my part. There was a car stopped, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just sneak around the side of them and turn right. And in my sneaking around the side of them to turn right, I actually got a little too close to the curb, and I heard as my rim was grinding against the curb. Thankfully, I got out and checked it. It all seems to be fine. So hopefully I will not have a flat tire on the way home. But I think we're good. It is episode 141. It is Thursday today. I am going to drop in for a few minutes tomorrow to do some work because we're ramping up for a big demo on Tuesday of this project that I've been working on for the last several months. And it's coming together. We just don't quite have everything ready, and I would just as soon get it done tomorrow to know that on Monday then I can just do some exhaustive testing and checking and be ready on Tuesday, as opposed to just say, oh, I'm sure we can get the rest of that ready by Tuesday, you know. So I'm just going to come in tomorrow for a little bit and hopefully get that finished up. If I can, then I don't have to work this weekend. Yay! That would be good, because I would like you to get back more full-time on Grumpy Old Prophets, so we will hopefully do that. Speaking of Grumpy Old Prophets, I've been reading through parts 2 and 3 over this past week, and tonight, if I have time, I'm going to be working on getting the beta version of that put together, because in about, a week, 12 days, I'm going to be closing up the beta version for part 1, and so then I'm going to be turning around and sending out part 2 and 3, which is book 2, and get that going, and then be working on going back and revising book 1 to get it ready to actually release, as well as working on book 3, which is part 4. We try to keep this as confusing as possible. But that all seems to be going well. I finished the read-through on book 2, which is parts 2 and 3, because it's on the life of Christ, and I needed it to be. It turned out being a little longer than the standard book. I try to keep Grumpy Old Prophet's book to about 80 pages, so this one's 160, because it was just too much to fit in one book, but some nice spots in it, some nice things, and it's actually helped me in my life. So I'm hoping that it will help some others as well. Kind of had a milestone this last week. Fun milestone. My granddaughter, Clara, and her parents, and everybody was over at my mom and dad's for lunch on Sunday. And I am Poppy to Clara. So P-A-P-I, Poppy. And so Lizzie, my daughter, was going around the table and doing the thing with Clara. Where's Poppy? You know, and so then she pointed me, Poppy! You know, where's Grammy? Which is what my wife goes by, Lene, Mammy! So that was fine. That was very cute, and it was nice. It's so fun to watch the brain start locking together, you know, and start to process all of these things. It's very, very cool to watch. So she's obviously mobile by this point. She's 18 months, and she's starting to say more and more words. And she was actually over at our house for the day on Wednesday, and my wife, who goes by Grammy, she said, Clara said Mammy to me now. It can say that much. So it's fun. We are blessed. We are very, very blessed. I said this week that we would talk about the multiverse. I know I've talked about multiverse in the past, but there was another program on Nova about the multiverse. And it really is fascinating to me to watch these programs. It's just very interesting. Especially very interesting to see what is put forth as the reasoning behind the multiverse. Unfortunately, there are technical details that I need to refer to when I'm talking about this, and they are in my notes, but at this point, things are very dark when I am driving home, especially tonight, because I got together with a friend. And we had a very, very nice dinner together. So I will just get flashes of my notes here. And we will try to, get through this. What was interesting to me about this particular episode is they were saying that they've got these three legs, these three pillars that all seem to be pointing in the same direction. So this kind of gives them hope that the multiverse might really be true. Of those three pillars, then, the first one was the Big Bang. What's interesting about the Big Bang is there's something that to scientists is a bit unsatisfying about the Big Bang. As one of the scientists said, with the Big Bang, we can tell you what happened, a millionth of a second after the Big Bang, but we really can't tell you what happened in the Big Bang. We don't know why it banged. We didn't know what came before the bang. He's going through all this. It's just like, pfft. And of course, this sounds strangely like Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. God created and he said, let there be light, and there was light. So this is somewhat unsatisfying. Well, as it turns out, the multiverse for those of you who don't know what the multiverse is, the multiverse is a theory that says that our universe, all the stars, all the galaxies, all the huge expanse, 13 billion light years? I don't know. All the huge expanse of the universe is in fact, one universe of many. There are many, 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 many universes, and they're all different. And our universe is just one of many. So, in coming up with this theory, there are several people that sort of hinted at it back and forth from a lot of different perspectives. One of them started out, he didn't really intend to bring a multiverse theory up, but he was a guy, Gutz, I think was his name, and they were thinking about the Big Bang and what happened moments after the Big Bang and how did the universe get to be the size it is and all that kind of stuff. And they came up, they were working with their mathematical formulas, and he realized all of a sudden that according to the mathematical formulas he was playing with, that in the early millionths of a second in the Big Bang, that what would have happened if his formulas were correct is that you would have gravity acting as a repulsive force. So gravity was actually be pushing things out as opposed to pulling things together. And it would be very strong and it would be very rapid. And they dubbed this inflation, that at the split second after the Big Bang, you would have inflation and poof, the universe would just, swell into existence. And in that process, you would have all these particles, and then they would start to coalesce, and boom, 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 boom. So, as it's it's cute because the guy who came up with this theory, he was just kind of a post-grad student, and he didn't really have a job. So what he did was he started traveling around giving talks on this, and a lot of people really liked this idea of inflation because it explained a lot of things in the formulas. And in fact, several years later, there was finally an experiment that was done because the inflationary theory predicted that there would be a certain pattern to the background radiation that was left over after the Big Bang. And in fact, when they sent up the listening devices, the survey devices, to survey this background radiation, they found the pattern that was predicted by the theory of inflation. Okay, well, that's pretty good. And that's basic science. You come up with a hypothesis, you test it with real empirical data, and then you compare your test results to what the theory says. And if things align well, then you say, oh, there you go. Well, there were a couple of other guys that were looking at all these equations and were thinking about inflation and thinking about how does inflation stop. And they realized that inflation might not stop everywhere at the same time. And according to them, it was likely that inflation didn't stop everywhere at the same time. There were certain pockets where it was stopping, and other pockets were just inflating all the time. They called this eternal inflation. That what we think of as existence was this, the example they used on the show was this block of cheese that was just getting rapidly bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And with inside the cheese, there would be a discharge of energy, boom, that would look like a big bang to the people who were inside the bubble. And inside that bubble, then, you would get an end to inflation, and so then a universe would form. And from this, they came up with the idea, well, this could be happening all the time. We could be in eternal inflation, and now we don't have to explain where the Big Bang came from anymore because the Big Bangs are happening all over the place, all over the time, so it's not unusual. It's common. Which is a theme that you hear over and over and over in the program when they start talking about multi-universes. Because one of the things about the multi-universe that really trips people's triggers who just love the multiverse is that it is the next logical step in the non-uniqueness of life and existence. Back in the old days, we sat here on the Earth, we saw all the stars going around us in the sky, we said, oh, we must be the center of everything. And then, of course, did some more observations, and no, we're not the center of everything. We go around the sun, and the sun goes around the galaxy, and the galaxy is spreading apart from the universe. You know, all the galaxies are moving apart, blah, 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 blah. And so we become more and more common through all these transitions. And the multiverse, for the people who believe in the multiverse, is just the next step. Everything becomes more common. And so this idea of eternal inflation now begins once again to reinstate the kind of comfort that there was in the prevailing theory of the universe before the Big Bang. Because before the Big Bang, the theory was called steady state, that the universe was in a steady state, that it was eternal. You didn't have to explain how the universe started because it's always been. Then you come along with the Big Bang And now all of a sudden, things have a beginning. That begins to get uncomfortable. But if you can have eternal inflation, and then you just have multiple big bangs all happening inside this, now it gets more comfortable again. Now we're back to steady state. So that's the first leg of something that appears to indicate that there's a multiverse. That's their first leg. The second leg has to do with a discovery, right, has to do with a discovery that was made recently. And for years, scientists have been wondering as to whether or not the universe would go out with a bang or with a whimper. Would there be a big crunch? Would the universe slow its expansion, eventually fold back down on itself, and all come together? Because then you could have another big bang. See, and then we could kind of get in a steady state again, and we'd find comfort in that. And so there were a bunch of studies that were done, bunch of measurements over a long period of time, trying to figure out, is the expansion of the universe slowing? Will it collapse down on itself, or is it just slowing and it'll never come back together? Surprisingly enough, the answer is the expansion of the universe is not slowing, it's getting faster. Oh, no one saw this coming. Because this is completely counterintuitive. If you throw a baseball up into the sky, you don't expect the baseball to start accelerating and keep accelerating till it shoots off into space. But in fact, that is what's happening with our galaxies. And there will come a point in the future, if we're around that long, albeit the far, far-flung future, billions and billions of years from now, there will come a point when the galaxies will be so far apart that the light, and will be traveling so fast apart that the light from those galaxies will never reach us, because there's an accelerating expansion going on. No one expected this. At the same time, you've got string theory that is calculating how existence works. And what string theory says is that if you get way, way down at the bottom of it, it's not atoms, it's not protons, it's not electrons, it's not quarks. It's tiny vibrating strings of energy. And all the math, when you do the math and you figure out how much energy would be there, the energy is enormous. It's just enormous. And this is what they thought was the dark energy that's pushing everything apart. But then they ran calculations on what is the value of dark energy that would account for the rapid expansion of the universe. And what they found is that when they do their calculations for how much energy that string theory should produce in the fabric of the universe, it's large, 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 large. But when they do the calculations for what is the amount that is pushing apart the galaxies, what is that factor? It's extremely small. Small, 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 small. In fact, if it was only a little less small, we wouldn't even exist, because atoms would never form, galaxies would never form, nothing would ever form. So you've got this astronomically small value that just happens to be configured just right so that we can exist. This is not satisfying. Because once again, you get back to uniqueness. We don't like uniqueness. So what are we to do? Well, as everybody was pondering this and thinking, wow, we just aren't even close on this. How will we ever explain this? Someone says, wait a minute, it's a multiverse, because there's infinite number of universes and they all have different values. And so then it just seems reasonable that we would live in a universe that has this very tiny value, because we wouldn't even be around if it didn't. And so therefore, when we look at it and that we say, oh, that seems unusual. Why would it be that? Well, we just happen to be in the right place. So there you go. Ta-da. I'm backing into my garage. So those were the two legs. And then the third one that they were saying points to a multiverse is the fact that when they run the mathematic calculations for, I'm backing into my garage trying not to hit something, when they run the calculations for these strings in string theory, wait, I'm a little too close. What they find is that these strings can vibrate in many, many different configurations. And what they think presently is the different string vibrations are what makes up electrons and protons and neutrons and quarks and all that sort of thing. But it's not that they can just vibrate in certain configurations. They can vibrate in tons of configurations. And they just happen to vibrate in certain configurations in our universe. Now, once again, we appear to be a little unique. So there's discomfort. Then they say, wait a minute, it's the multiverse. We're good. Because, of course they do this. This is how we exist. So, what's interesting to me about all of this is that what you hear them talk about in the multiverse is infinity. The infinite number of universes that are out there. And in fact, some of the scientists, they don't like this multiverse thing at all because they say, by its very definition, the other universes in the multiverse, we can't see them, we can't experiment against them, we have no way of knowing for sure that they're out there. Some of them are saying, this is not science because you can't test it. And it's just very convenient. You know, whenever you have something you don't understand why it should be that peculiar, you can just shrug your shoulders and say, well, it's the multiverse. There's an infinite number of universes. So obviously one of them might look odd. We just happen to be in the one that looks odd. What is interesting to me about all of this is that when it comes to explaining our existence, when it comes to explaining the mysteries of existence, even the scientists who do not believe in God now rely on the infinite in order to come up with the explanations for things they find puzzling. And within the Christian belief system, our idea is that God is infinite. He never had a beginning. He never had an end. He is always. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. If there's anything within the Christian belief system that approaches infinity, it's God. And so in the Christian belief system, when it comes to truly explaining existence, we refer to something that is above and beyond anything we experience. We experience something that is extra, that is super to our existence. Supernatural, extranatural, infinite, without end, without beginning. And scientists, as they're puzzling through our existence with all their tools, I just find it fascinating that in order to resolve some of the issues they're looking at, they have to move towards the extra and the super and the infinite as well. And so I say, hey, there you go. Now, do I know whether God made a universe or a multiverse? No. Does it really matter? No. Because all that truly matters is knowing him and loving him. But it sure is fun watching all these different theories and watching people do all this experimentation and watching all of these wonderful minds run all these courses, because who knows what they're going to discover about how God put this universe and possibly a multiverse together. And that's fun. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.